Well, it is feeling good to be out the house, out the office, and we're at the Boomtown Casino today at the Sportsbook and Cafe. Myself and Mike Haas here bringing you Sports Talk 4 to 7 today. We're going to be talking plenty of Saints action as they do continue their interviews for the head coach and getting into the AFC and NFC championship games on Sunday. Cannot wait to be on the couch watching those games in action. Mike, how you been doing, man?
I've been good, man. It's been, you know, crazy like everything else. You know, big news of the afternoon, of course, all these roadways opening up. I-10 and 55 and West Bank Expressway. Because earlier today, it was gridlocked in a lot of places getting to these major arteries.
Right, exactly. Right?
It's not that you can't get on them. What happens when they're I can't get off. So it's been good to see. Man, temperatures in the 50s, being the 60s tomorrow, just gorgeous. It's been a grueling week.
Yeah, can't wait for that warm weather to melt all this white snow away. Being a Jersey boy, I still do not miss it one bit at all.
Oh, man, Sam, I mean, because we're done. Right? When was the last time? 2008?
I hope we're
2008,
done.
2008, knock on wood. I mean, you look kind of forward. We'll have a few more cold snaps, but I've never seen anything. And I'm from Northern Virginia,
yeah.
You know, the D.C. area, Virginia. And, you go out so early on Tuesday because you're like, I'm used to snow. It's going to last like an hour, right?
It hits the ground and it melts.
It lasted
right.
Nine. And so it was just crazy. And I know everybody's been fighting at schools and roadways and work. And, man, we appreciate everybody's patience.
Yeah, with MLK Day on Monday, then the rest of the week for my kiddo, he was off an entire week of school. It was like another extended Christmas break.
Yeah, it's been because nobody left. When I left work on Friday, I didn't go, what am I going to need at home for 8 days, right? So I went to work at the Superdome yesterday, and it was like six of us in our, you know, area. It just was hard to get around, but it's amazing how things changed in really the last 24 to 36 hours. So we're happy to see that. Come on out. If the roadways are approved in your area and you can't, come on out and see us at we're right at the sports book. You walk in the front doors, look to your left, you'll see Steve and myself, and you'll hear us. Probably before that.
I was wondering when I first got in, I was like, where the heck am I going now that I'm here? Ernie's got a great setup. You see the WWL signs. You can't miss us at all here at the Sportsbook.
And, you know, everybody's been kind of cooped up. I'm saying how people are ready to get out and ready for things to be open. And so, yeah, I think this is a good way to start a big weekend, right? Saints looking for their head coach still. And the way it kind of looks is they may be the last man standing, so you'll have opportunities. Dallas with maybe Schottenheimer. So the Saints, there's still a lot of people to talk to today with Weaver and then Kafka tomorrow, and I think Mike McCarthy next week.
You
still got a bunch of guys that you cannot talk to.
Right, Joe Brady might be in the mix. Cliff Kingsbury.
There's still a lot going on.
Yeah, it's a fun time right now, you know, getting out ready for these playoffs and the Saints with that head coaching search going on at the Boomtown Casino. They've got a big, easy bowl finale Saturday, January 25th. They're going to be drawing two winners that will be selected today, two winners also tomorrow. Those four winners will be called every 30 minutes from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. They get to select a briefcase to determine their prize, which ranges from $750 in slot and table play to $1,500 in pen cash. There are also going to be winners from previous weeks. All finalists will be in a drawing drum Saturday at 9:15. The winners receive a pair of big game tickets in that Caesar Superdome and also $2,500 in cash. Also, if you're a card member, you get one free entry. You can earn additional entries for every $10, 10-tier points. You get an additional entry. So stop by Boomtown here and get in on the action. You could be a winner to the big game coming up. I think February 9th in the Caesar Superdome. I know you know it well.
I do. And, you know, that's what the other thing. So the NFL came to, you know, the Superdome. They've been, you know, off and on for the last 2 years, you know, huge contact. But they came after the Saints played Tampa, right? That was on the 5th. So the next day, the NFL kind of moves in.
Yeah.
And really, since they have been here, I think we've had two decent days. Like, it's been brutally rainy and brutally cold and then 10 inches of snow. I'm sure they're going, what in the world? But hopefully I think it's going to be kind of, you know, you want to get the worst out of the way. But you know, there's a lot of build out. There's a lot of construction that goes on in that first 3 weeks, irrespective of the teams that are coming. Doesn't matter. So there's been a lot of work that they've had to battle through and challenges, and so it'll get there, and it's going to be beautiful. I mean, you're not going to be able to miss it. The red and the green that kind of are the LIX colors, man, you can't miss them. And so
the red and the green, could that mean a Chiefs and Eagles rematch in the Super Bowl from 2 years
ago? Certainly a different green. But, yeah, they do pop. That's the thing because, you know, once your team has been eliminated like the Saints, you know, people go, who do you think is going to? I don't know, right? I know who I wanted to be in.
Yeah.
I wanted Detroit and Buffalo. That's who I wanted. So that's not happening. But that would have been a phenomenal week of those fans, Buffalo and Detroit. You know, Buffalo 0-4. Detroit hadn't won. But now you kind of get an idea, right? There's no bad situation. I think probably the worst for people would be Kansas City and Philly. You know, it's just like been there, done that. Won't be a high scoring game, pounding ground, and Kansas City. Oh gosh, there you know, it'll be the Kelsey shows on both sidelines.
The thing with Kansas City though is obviously the chance for them to do that three-peat that has never been done.
You'd think that would be cool that people would go, hey, I want to, you know.
No, they're sick of it. If you're not a Chiefs fan,
so but either way, from the AFC standpoint, you're gonna have Buffalo 0-4,
right,
or Kansas City trying to do something unprecedented. Philly, who's you know going back again, you know would be what, third time in 4 years, something like that. So, or Washington out of nowhere, right?
and a rookie quarterback to win, right. Could win get to the Super Bowl for the first time ever.
First year head coach, you know, for them, and it's like, and the Saints played three of the four teams that are left. That's unusual. Now, they did lose to all three, but they were. You look at that Philly game week 3, you look at the Washington game week 15, that could have easily been victories, should have been victories for the Saints,
right.
Probably in both.
Yeah.
When you go
would've, back. Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda. But, I mean, it's funny that we have seen three of these four teams. That's pretty impressive.
We are here at the Boomtown Casino. Check us out at the Sportsbook if you stop by. We're going to get to a break. When we get back, we'll hear from Jari Evans, who spoke with Mike Haas earlier this season about getting inducted into the Ring of Honor. Also, how he's been adjusting to life in the coaching ranks. Mike also spoke with Cam Jordan. We'll hear from him this hour as well. And then at the 5 o'clock hour, we'll start breaking down these conference championships. NFC's up first, getting with the Eagles insider for Sports Illustrated, John McMullen, and also host of Locked On Commanders podcast, David Harrison. 6 o'clock hour, AFC, Sal Capaccio, Bill's sideline reporter of WGR 550 in Buffalo will join us, and Josh Klinger, the Chiefs sideline reporter for 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City, helping us break down everything KC. So taking a break, we'll be right back with more of Sports Talk from Boomtown Casino right here on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk here at Boomtown Casino at the Sportsbook. Lots going on. The LSU women's basketball team, number 5 in the nation, taking on number 2 South Carolina. End of the first quarter, the Gamecocks trailing by 1-2 LSU. The Tigers up 22-21. And also, Mike, the Saints tweeting out that they have completed today's interview with Anthony Weaver. So another in-person interview down for this black and gold squad.
Well, you know, because everybody always worries about snow in New Orleans and impacting these interviews. Like, what? So it's also it's how much things have changed. I mean, I know I'm old. This is going to be an old man statement. But we used to have to hide in the bushes, right?
To find out
what was going on. And I think I saw a guy, that he had a person staged at the airport. And he had a person staged at Saints camp, you know, following people around.
Now the team just tell you.
Now they tell you. Here's what we did today. We just wrapped up our in-person interview with Anthony Weaver, the defensive coordinator with Miami. They've also done it throughout the process, did our virtual. And it's very open. It's amazing. There's no secrets anymore. I mean, because you know, you can't. You just can't. This, with social media and X and Shifter and Bray, all these people.
You know, trying to keep up with everything.
Good gosh, man. It's amazing. So we'll see. And then we have the Pelicans. as well. Pelicans
That's right.
Tonight.
Yeah, 6:30 pregame coverage will be on 870 a.m. while we'll roll on here on 105.3 FM and a 7 o'clock tip-off against the Grizzlies. Pelicans looking to win their fifth straight game.
Yeah.
But we'll be without Zion tonight. They will have DeJounte Murray, and Yves Missy is back after he was dealing with an illness.
Right, but no Brandon. He's out with the ankle sprain,
right?
And no Herb, out with the shoulder still. In fact, they had 16 players between the two teams on the initial injury report. I'm like, how many people are on these? Like, that should be everybody, isn't it? That's like a lot. So six players are out for Memphis. Ja Morant's questionable right now. But, man, you know, you had that game with Milwaukee that was postponed because of the snow. I mean, they kind of had things really, like, keep the momentum going. I mean, it is what it is. Snow is what it is. But, man, they've played such good basketball, really, since that road trip, you know, with Boston and Chicago and Philly, really, you know, playing good basketball.
We were talking about the coaching search for the Saints. A coach currently on the staff that's a former player, Jari Evans. You got a chance to talk to him. I think it was right after he got inducted into the Ring of Honor in the Caesar Superdome.
Yeah, and so we're talking with Jari, you know, such a class guy and Hall of Fame finalist again, and hopefully this will be the year. We'll find out on Thursday, February 6th at the Honors. We'll find out all the MVPs and all of the awards. But we had a chance to talk to Jari not too long ago during the season as part of the Saints Hour broadcast. Here's a portion of that where he really gets into the coaching aspect and really when he found out he was going into the Ring of Honor, which they kept as a surprise. So here's a portion of that interview. Let's go back a little bit. I know we've talked. It's such a big day for you coming up on Sunday as you get into the Ring of Honor, but I kind of want to start backwards, right? July 31st, Irvine, when you got the news, and it was cool because it was in front of your peers and your players and your coaches. And I think enough time's passed. Were you surprised?
Yeah, I was really surprised. That wasn't on my radar that day. I was more so thinking about the plays, practice, you know, individual drill with the old line. Yeah, so it caught me off guard, caught me by surprise, and it was a bit emotional at first, and then I had to get it together because they wanted me to say something. So,
well, I looked at it this morning just to kind of refresh my memory because we were there but not in the room, and you know I love when the big guys get emotional, right? So I've kind of felt you were like clapping. Kind of getting you were kind of getting yourself back together, right?
Because I was.
You know what I mean? You the clap kind of helped you get it back together, but you turned it right into win each day, add each day up, win each down, add each down up, win the drive, add the drives up. At the end of the day, let's go win the division. I mean, you turned it typically, not surprisingly, nothing about you. It became about a message to the team.
Yeah, you know, it's I just remember as a player, coach is always, you know, it's very important who you put in front of the team and the message that they deliver. So I always remembered that. And I, you know, of course we played a big team game and, you know, some of those guys watched me play, you know, guys know what kind of player I was, but you know, I immediately got into coach mode and I wanted to deliver a message to inspire those guys to be the best player they can be. And that's something that I told myself when I was on the field is, you know, win the down. Add those downs up, win the drive. You add those drives up, you win the day, and ultimately you win a division.
Played 11 years for the Saints. Did play that one final year for Green Bay. We count it from NFL purposes, but from a Saints standpoint, because the numbers are astonishing to me when you think about what everybody is going through. Out of 176 possible games, you missed two games in 2013 and five in 2015. So you started 169 out of 176 out of possible during your time here. You know the game. You know what they're going through now. Those numbers must be significant even to you.
Yeah, I'm very proud of those numbers. You know, I missed seven games with the Saints, and I only missed two with Green Bay. I didn't play the last two games of that season. I had a knee issue. But, yeah, and, you know, the most streak in the road games I missed was like three because I had surgery, but I made it back quickly and to get back with the guys. So I'm very proud of being available. You hear a lot, the best ability is availability, and I was able to stay healthy.
That stretch for you that started in 09, AP first team, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, your AP second team, Pro Bowl all those years, and then Pro Bowl in 14. And those were, and people don't
probably, you have to go back and look, at least to me, they think about the 09 and the 11 and the 13 teams as being those kind of standouts. Those years, this football team ran the ball better than it threw the ball, right? And probably people wouldn't know that or wouldn't think that, right? But that's when you guys were playing good, you were running the football.
Yeah, man. I played on some great units with some great guys. And, you look at AK, who just broke Mark's record. You know, Mark was the back a lot of those years and stacked up a lot of those numbers. And the one thing I do think the organization has done and continues to do is shows the value of the guys up front. And, you know, we protected Drew well, and we were able to put up a lot of records on the ground and in the air. And it was a lot of fun.
I was looking. So in your 11 years, the Saints led the NFL in total offense 6 times. So, man, that's just boom, right? Total offense. But in those 11 years, you allowed 274 sacks. That was the lowest amount in the NFL over that period. Which of those stats means more to you?
Run versus the pass? I would say the sacks. You know, as an O-lineman, you always kind of, you know, you pride yourself on running the ball. That's the pride thing. You know, you pride yourself on running the ball, getting downfield, getting to the second level, getting the linebackers, getting your running backs to the safeties. You know, that's a given for us. We want to play, you know, big and nasty and strong. But to also not just be dominant in the run game, but also be dominant in protecting the quarterback to allow those guys, to allow them to drive the ball downfield, those guys to make play downfield. You know, you really feel the energy of the dome and the stadium and the fans when you get those big plays through the air. So, you know, those plays, you know, drove us to be successful, and the type of players that we had and Drew Brees and his skill set and his talent, we wanted to be dominant in both, not just the ground, but in protecting the quarterback as well.
Deuce gets asked all the time, man, why don't you be a coach? And I know the former players who get asked that go, dude, I've seen the job, man. I know what the job is. And it's a heck ton of work. But you were an intern in 2022 and then last year and then this year. Did you know what you were getting into? I know that answer. But how's it been? Yeah. What's the progression been like?
It's been awesome. You know, throughout my career, I did football clinics. I've done camps. I've had young men that have come up through my camps that wind up making it to the NFL. So, you know, throughout my career, I was doing teaching clinics with offensive line. And even when I retired, I have a 24-hour gym back in Philly that I've owned for 13-plus years. It's been a company for 20-plus years. So I was training guys and working with guys. But, you know, it is a grind. The coaching grind is a grind. The good thing about it is, I know football pretty well and I know technique, and I'm able to sharpen these guys' tools and add tools to their toolbox. And then the O-line is very unique because you got guys from all different body types, all different sizes that have different skill sets that move differently. And I enjoy working with those guys. And I enjoy showing them things that made me successful, and also showing them things that I've learned from my teammates over the years that made us successful and made them successful as far as tackles and centers and things of that nature. And there's about, shoot, I mean, there's a lot of us who are coaching now. I mean, Dwayne Leftford actually coaches for the Atlanta Falcons, played with him earlier in my career. You got Jonathan Goodwin, you got Zach Strieve. So, you know, there's a lot of guys coaching that I played with up front. And I think it just shows of how good of a units we've had over the years that we have a lot of linemen coaching.
Great to hear from Coach Jari Evans there, and I'm seeing, too, he's going to be involved at the Senior Bowl next week helping out with the offensive line.
Yeah, he's such a good guy, right? It was just more of a conversation.
Yeah.
And we don't have a lot of those, you know, where you just kind of just talk football with a guy and really kind of get to know him a little bit. I mean, think about it, though. In this time with the Saints, he missed 7 games, right? 7! Yeah, linemen missed that many this year.
No, and you know, you see those old linemen, they've got braces on elbows and knees and, you know, sleeves here, and it's really a testament of his durability and, like you said, awesome guy. So happy for him to get into that Ring of Honor.
Yeah, Ring of Honor and hopefully the Hall of Fame. I think it will happen, as he said. You know, he knows football pretty well. Yeah, I don't think anybody questioned that. And what a list, you know, as you look at the finalists for 25 years, Eli Manning, you know, Newman, 2-time Super Bowl MVP, Eric Allen, who played for the Saints, and Reggie Wayne. We're on the West Bank here at Boomtown. He went to John Arrett. You know I'm old. I look at Reggie Wayne, I go, he's 46. That made me feel like, oh, my gosh, I'm ancient. I am a dinosaur. I made first-round pick in 2001. So I mentioned Eric Allen. So, just, you know, it's just going to be, no matter what, it's going to be a great class. And I hope that it is. That's tough for guards, right? Tough for guards. If you're not a left tackle and from an offensive line or a center, it's difficult. But I do think, you know, now's the time.
Pretty impressive resume for Jahri Evans. And, yeah, just probably a better person even than anything else. Really happy for him. You see the success he's had now on the field and going into coaching. We'll see what happens with him. I wonder if one day he aspires to be kind of a head coach, or he wants to stick with the O-line.
Yeah, I don't know. It's great. You know, he's certainly a humongous leader, which is first and foremost, and he has the respect of anybody that's around him, either from coaching or playing. We saw Zach do it. You know, I mean, these guys who go that route know exactly what they're getting into, and to do it, you got to go all in. We're so happy to see what Zach's accomplished and Jahri as well. So we'll find out Thursday, February 7th. It'll be the Invisalign Honors Awards event. We'll find out all the MVPs, and we'll find out who gets in.
So we'll be rooting for Jahri and a bunch of our local flavor there, like you mentioned, with the Hall of Fame coming up. Once again, want to mention to everybody that the Saints have completed their in-person interview with Dolphins defensive coordinator Anthony Weaver for the head coaching position. Tomorrow coming in will be Mike Kafka, former player, now the offensive coordinator of the New York Giants. He's looking to move on up in the ranks. And we mentioned also next week it'll be sometime, though, no definite date yet, but Mike McCarthy, the former Dallas Cowboys coach, in the mix. And then we'll see what happens after these games this week with guys like a Cliff Kingsbury with the Washington Commanders and Joe Brady of the Buffalo Bills, who had time with the Saints staff and we know went on to be the passing game coordinator over at LSU for that magical championship season in 2019.
And Kellen Moore as well. You have a lot of guys that are in this mix. You know, three of the four that are still in this mix are, you know, still playing the game here.
Right.
But it just shows you kind of the length of the process. Anthony Weaver, Dolphins defensive coordinator, he had his virtual interview on January 8th. Virtual on January 8th, in person on the 24th. It's a process.
Yeah, snow did cause a little bit of an issue with that. I'm sure it would have been earlier this week if not.
Right, but still, that's a pretty good gap between your virtual and in person, because the NFL works very hard to lengthen this process.
Yeah.
Slow it down. And so it's hard to, because you can do virtual at a certain window, you can bring them in person a certain window, but they got to be either through the season or you got to wait.
It's just so odd for teams that are still in the playoffs having to deal with, you know, their coaches being interested in other positions.
It happens every year.
Yeah, right.
It's not like college. At least they stay, right? You can't hire them.
Just while I'm out of here.
That's right. Yeah. You guys deal with the bowl yourself.
Speaking of out of here, I hear the music playing. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more of our action here at Boomtown Casino. Sports Talk rolls on. Coming back, Michael will play a sit-down with Cam Jordan, another Saints great, right after this on WWL. That's right. We got out the house, hanging out at Boomtown Casino in Harvey today. We'll join us here till 7 o'clock tonight at the Sportsbook. Looking at the action going on in South Carolina, Gamecocks currently leading the LSU Tigers 33-30, a minute left till halftime over there. We'll be definitely keeping an eye on that matchup as we continue on here. And we just heard from Jahri Evans. We're hoping he gets into the Hall of Fame, and another guy one day destined for the Hall seems like a guy in Cam Jordan, still playing though. Interested to see, you know, what happens with him for next season. I know there's some question marks. Will he, won't he be back with the Saints? But one thing's for sure, I know this dude wants to play another season. There's no way Cam's thinking about hanging him up yet.
No, there's a lot to be played for when you're like DeMario and Cam and what they wanted to accomplish and kind of how they wanted to leave it. So he wins the 2025 Bart Starr Award. It's the third time he's been up for the Walter Payton Man of the Year. He had it also nominated in 2017, also in 2021, and now this past season. So, again, we had a chance to talk to Cam earlier about the situation, about his community give back, and it was just really nice to get a sit down with him and to listen to kind of his comments. And here's a portion of that interview with Cam Jordan.
Nominated again for the Walter Payton Man of the Year. It happened before, but when that comes from your peers, give me a sense of what that means to you
I think it's a huge nod to the work that I'm doing in the community. And I feel like I take everything as a challenge anyway. So I take it as a challenge that I can be better. I can be more. I can have more of a positive impact in my community. You know, I feel like it was like a rally of like, whatever you're doing, great. And for me, it was a challenge of, all right, whatever I've done, awesome, but I can always give more. I mean, I was integrated into New Orleans before I was integrated really as a New Orleans Saint. The city showed me so much love when it was a lockout year that most of my friends were New Orleanians. You know, like real work, eat, live in New Orleans versus the transplants that football players seem to be, you know? So it was easy to embrace the culture. But growing up, I had a dad who played for the Minnesota Vikings and started up all types of charity events, first team program out in Phoenix, where, you know, they bring in inner city youth kids to the game of golf, introduce them to the game of golf. And as long as I can remember, I've always seen, you know, acts of kindness from my mom in our surrounding community. So it was just something I grew up with. So growing up with it, you always aspire to be like your parents, emulate actions that you see as positive impacts. And that was the easiest way to go about it. But it's more along the lines of seeing the smiles on kids' faces, you know, whether that's the PFEs from the play football focus camps, play it forward in high school. Anytime you've had interactions with the next generation, the next kids, the guys that look up to, you've always been re-inspired. So going to these school visits is darn near selfish at this point. When I go out there and I'm talking to kids and you see them light up and you see how they, you know, they want to play professional sports. They want to go, you know, go to college and play for their team. They want to be great. They want to take their grades to the next level so they have opportunities or chances. You feel re-inspired. You feel reinvigorated, of like you're looking at infinite potential. You know, a kid who's 8, 9, 10, 12, 14, 16 has their whole life in front of them, hopefully, has 40, 50, 60 years. And this is those foundational type moments that you can leave a positive impact on them. You would never know what kid needs to hear your talk, what kid needs to be affected until, you know, 5, 10, call it 14 seasons later, when you see a kid that was 8 or 9 years old now sitting at 23, 24, like, hey, man, I wanted to go to, you know, Cal because you came in and talked about Cal. I wanted to be a professional football player, but I remember how much you stressed the importance of academics. And it's like, you know, now I'm taking my LSATs and I'm pushing towards a better degree because I want to have better opportunity. But I remember you talking about school was first before it was football. And it's moments, the interactions that I've had over the last 5 years that have made me realize how much of an impact I've had talking to kids in school. So it's creating the scholarships. It's creating, you know, the backpack drives, the school give backs, the teacher supply, back school drives. It's feeding the homeless. It's partnering with United Way. It's doing whatever it takes to be a part of this community that can have a positive impact, because you never know how much positivity you can create from it.
First and 10. Fakes the handoff back to throw. A little stunned. He does. The ball comes loose and Minshew gets it, but that'll be it. That should be the sack for Cam Jordan, and that should be the record.
That's the record. Congratulations to the new Saints sack leader. Franchise history.
First notable game of the career would have been like Mike Vick 3-sack game Philadelphia was at 2012, because that was the first 3-sack game. And it was Mike Vick. Come on. Everybody played with Mike Vick on Madden when we had Algie Crumpler. You know, like it was Mike Vick. And then I guess the other one would just be, sadly, I'm always going to remember the 3-sack game against Philadelphia breaking the Saints record. It's just not as epic. Like, you know, the first sack was against Cam Newton. The 100th sack was against Tom Brady. The 113, 14th, and 15th and a half sack was against Gardner Minshew. Just, for some reason, Gardner's just not doing it. And I have the pantheon of quarterbacks. Not saying he's not a good one. He's just not legendary in my mind.
Met your dad somewhat when you signed your contract this summer. And I wasn't afraid of him, but I just went, man, that's an intimidating cat. He was just an intimidating guy. And now I'm thinking, you're the father of four. I'm going, I think Cam Jordan would be the greatest dad in the world, man. He's fun. We laugh. And I'm just wondering, what kind of dad is Cam Jordan?
Man, I think I'd hold the moniker for fun dad. If you ask the wife, that's definitely my role.
You are good cop. She is bad cop.
She is the concrete as well as the walls, the ceiling of the household. And I just happen to be the wonderful, beautiful pattern window that gets to look outside. You know, like I am the fun that they want to get to. And at the same time, I'm also the ceiling. If mom gets mad, guess who has to bring the hammer? Me. So my role doesn't change much from the D-line. I get to be fun. And at the same time, if I have to come bring be the bearer of bad news, I'd be that as well. I get to be me 24/7.
Man, that is awesome stuff from Cam Jordan. Love hearing from him. And it really, truly is amazing the amount of work he does for the community. When everybody is off on Tuesdays, Cam's working, quote-unquote, busy going, attending schools, not just one, multiple in a day, just giving that message to kids. And that impact he's had on the community is awesome.
It's amazing. And, you know, I feel like he's in pretty good position post-football. I feel like there will be a job for him out there in the sphere. He's just an interesting guy. I was interested to hear about the dad situation because he's just a fun guy. I'm like, well, he can't be that guy at home. But he is. He is. You know, and you know this. Sometimes when you're interviewing Cam, if you don't pay attention, halfway through you realize he's interviewing you, right? The shoe has changed. And so best of luck to him, deserving as well of the Walter Payton and, again, the winner of the Bart Starr. So just well done.
Do you know the date we find out the winner of the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award?
I think it's I want to say it's the same.
With the honors?
I want to say, you know.
Okay.
I should know, but I don't. But I want to say it's the
same. I should know, too.
No, good luck. But I do believe it is.
Looking at the score of the LSU women's basketball game, the Lady Tigers down 3 at the half. It's 33 South Carolina, 30 LSU Tigers. That action will be resuming shortly in SoCal.
It is. It is the Thursday at the Invisalign Honors Awards Banquet. So Walter Payton, all the MVP and everything.
So good luck to Cam in that for sure. We're taking a break here on Sports Talk at the Boomtown Casino in Harvey. We're going to be in the Sports Book and Cafe here till 7 o'clock. Why don't you come in, stop by, put some money on a game or two for this weekend. We'll be right back with more of Sports Talk right after this. Stay tuned on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, and boy, has it been a long week. And I know everybody is ready for some football. You can catch the NFL Conference Championship Sunday on WWL. First up, Jaden Daniels and the Commanders taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. Pre-game starts 1 o'clock, kickoff at 2. Then it's the Buffalo Bills battling the returning back-to-back champs Kansas City Chiefs. Kickoff set for 5:30. You don't have to miss a minute of the action Sunday starting 1 o'clock on your home for the NFL and Super Bowl 59, WWLAMFM.com. And, of course, the Odyssey app. Coming up next hour, we're going to be getting into our previews of the conference championships, getting the NFC up first, hitting on the Eagles and with the Commanders. Looking forward to that game for sure to see how that rookie Jaden Daniels does. It's been an amazing year for him. And to think that the Commanders would be in this position at the start of the year, I know nobody could have seen this coming.
No, cardiac Commanders, right? New coach, rookie quarterback. And it just, you know, it all came to fruition. And a lot of it is because of those games. Because of those games that they won, they beat Chicago on a last-second Hail Mary, were able to survive the Saints on a missed two-point conversion, beat Philly in Week 18 on a last-second touchdown pass. So that's three games right there. You know, so they just – sometimes it's your time, right? Sometimes
right.
It's
just
your time.
Finding the way to win.
They're playing and I heard this is because we're a Boomtown. They're playing with house money. They are playing with house money. They got nothing to lose.
We're all in here at the Boomtown Casino in Harvey. Stop by and say hey at the Sportsbook and Cafe. Taking a break for the top of the hour news, and we'll get back getting into our NFC conference preview. Also, your call is 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. Right back after this on WWL. What is going on, everybody? Sports Talk here at Boomtown Casino in Harvey. Happy to be out the house, out the office. It is a glorious day as the roads have reopened and everyone can go about their business as we get back to normal following that snowpocalypse that hit New Orleans. Was fun to watch, but not fun to deal with afterwards, the aftermath of it. You realize, man, I'm trapped now in this snow.
Yeah, it's not like we've never had it. We've never seen anything like that before, you know, 130 years. And so, yeah, it was tough. And then really what makes the storm different, and it was kind of like it was back in 1989 when I first got here, it snowed, but then it was below freezing for like three straight days. Pipes breaking, you know, taking a shower with the hot water that you got out of the sink.
Yeah.
Right? And so it was very... It was the following the snow and the freezing temperatures following where you're running the water, trickling to keep your pipes, and then the parish, you know, has a problem with water because everybody's got their water running.
Right.
So
they're telling us to drip the water so it doesn't freeze.
It is, and so it's a fine line, but it'll be 60 plus and sunny over the weekend. I'm looking forward to, and then Sunday, man, 2 o'clock, Washington and Philadelphia, and then 5:30. Buffalo and Kansas City yet again. But man, it's going to be great. It's great. And the winners come to New Orleans. Like, typically we kind of like, we're watching from afar, but we've still got a hand in this one.
Right. We get to play host.
Right. We get to host, the winners. And so I'm, you know, either way, it's going to be a great game. And, you know, based on the four teams that are left, that's kind of a no lose. I don't, everybody has your own feeling, your own favorite. But from a city standpoint, it's going to be a pretty pumped up fan base, because we know Philly's fan base, they're
right.
Tough. They booed Santa, right? You know, Buffalo Mafia, if they come. Kansas City, probably one of the best fan bases nationally, along with Green Bay.
I guess Walmart, Home Depot, all those stores are going to have to get those folding tables ready
if the Bills Mafia is coming. That's right. So it's... It's kind of no lose. I'm looking forward. Washington hadn't been there in such a long time. A Washington-Buffalo rematch.
Yeah, the Final Four is a good mix.
Yeah, I think so as well.
Talking about the Super Bowl, well, the Boomtown is promoting their Big Easy finale, which is Saturday, January 25th. Today, two winners will be selected. Tomorrow, two more winners selected. Those four winners will be called every 30 minutes from 7 to 9 p.m. They get to select a briefcase to determine their prize, which ranges from $750 in slot and table play to $1,500 in pen cash. There will also be winners from previous weeks. All finalists are placed in a drawing drum on Saturday, 9:15. The winner receives a pair of tickets to the big game and $2,500 in cold hard cash. If you're a card member, you get one free entry. You can get additional entries for every 10 tier points. You get one additional entry. So stop by Boomtown and get involved with that. Looking at the LSU women's basketball team in action right now against South Carolina, the Gamecocks up 45-38 over the Lady Tigers, currently still in the third quarter in that matchup. We'll definitely be keeping an eye on that. Also tonight in basketball action, the Pelicans are in Memphis to take on the Grizzlies. That's a 7 o'clock tip-off on the big 870 AM. We'll be going to 6:30 on 870 AM here with Sports Talk. We'll continue on at 105.3 FM. Pre-game coverage for the Pels in Memphis starts 6:30, 870 AM there. Lots going on right now.
Right, and so you're thinking, so the Pelicans on the road again next couple of games. They come back on Wednesday, January 29th, Dallas in town. Big one there. Then Boston will be on Friday the 31st. So Wednesday the 29th, Friday the 31st. And then you go right into opening night. You know, get the NFL app, NFL One Plus, I'm sorry, NFL One. Get the app and start, you know, because that's the event. It's basically media day. But
right.
It's at the Superdome, right? 5 to 10 and the, you know, come down, $20. And take part. So, but get the app. You can get everything you need from the app.
I laughed today. Like, my son was talking to me. He's like, Dad, the Super Bowl, you know, you're talking about doing things with Radio Row and the Super Bowl parties and then the game. He's like, when are you going to have any time for rest? I'm like, there's no time for rest right now. We don't have to worry about that. And it's the... You know, the ultimate experience with the Super Bowl in town, too. I got to, do a lot going on when Baltimore and San Francisco played, and definitely looking forward to this time around. Plan on camping out at Radio Row in the Convention Center forever, just seeing who passes by.
Going to be fun. The NFL One Pass is what you need for all of the events, because it's the NFL experience.
That, too. I can't wait to bring the little guy to that.
Opening night, which they, you know, you talked about an evolution, which used to be media day, brutal Tuesday. And now it's, you know, it's an event. So, man, the NFL knows what they're doing.
We are here at the Boomtown Casino in Harvey. Here till 7 o'clock at night, we are taking a break. When we get back, we'll get into our NFC preview of the conference championship, breaking it all down. First up will be the Philadelphia Eagles, and we'll talk to John McMullen, Eagles insider for Sports Illustrated and host of the Birds 365 podcast. After that, we'll check in with the Commanders, David Harrison, who does Locked On Commanders and also writer for SI's Commander Game Day. Stay tuned here on Sports Talk at Boomtown as we get ready for NFL football on Sunday right here on WWL.
22-yard line, that's where Philadelphia opens up. Handoff, it's Barkley running to the left. Barkley gets by everybody! Saquon Barkley is gone! Touchdown! On a snowy Sunday, Saquon Barkley has dominated for the Eagles!
You heard the call there talking about Saquon Barkley and the Philadelphia Eagles to help us break down the matchup against the Washington Commanders on Sunday. Welcome in John McMullen, Eagles insider for Sports Illustrated and host of Birds 365 podcast. Definitely appreciate the time, John. Know you're busy going on getting ready for this matchup on Sunday. How you been?
Doing well. Thanks for having me, guys.
The addition of Saquon Barkley obviously cannot be understated for this Philadelphia Eagles squad. Has meant so much to this offense this season, and it's just really eye-popping the numbers he was able to put up this year in consideration for the MVP of the league, and just keeps on churning and churning going. What are we in store for this game against the Washington Commanders defense that could be suspect against the run?
Yeah, I think a lot of what you've seen, the Eagles feel they can run the football on anyone. I think it's a little bit complicated this week with Jalen Hurts dealing with a knee injury, and we'll see how limited he is. Did confirm he's going to wear a brace on Sunday. So, you know, the plus one impact, when you have those two together and you have to worry about in those zone read looks, you have to worry about Jalen Hurts pulling the ball occasionally, it really makes it difficult. So if you look at the second time the Eagles played Washington down in Landover, week 16, it was very difficult in the second half. Jalen Hurts left that game with a concussion. Saquon had his usual home run. And then the second half, it got really muddy from a perspective because Jalen wasn't out there, and they could really load the box and try to take Saquon Barkley out of the game. And that's the only game the Eagles have lost since their week 4 loss to Tampa Bay. Then they had a bye week and sort of shifted from a pass first offense to leaning on their tremendous offensive line and Saquon Barkley. And that's it. That's the only loss they've had. And that's against the Washington Commanders.
If you look at these two teams, this is Mike Haas, thanks for joining us. And the takeaways in the playoffs, both are plus six, both have forced six and committed zero turnovers. But in the regular season, Philly was plus 11, Washington plus one. Got to feel like that's a huge factor on Sunday because neither team has committed a turnover yet.
Yeah, that's been the Eagles' philosophy to the point they've gotten a little bit risk-averse on the offensive side. So for all the historic nature in the season that Saquon is having, you know, their passing game hasn't been very good, and it's a little bit, it's funny because you're talking about a 16-3 team and is still people nitpick in Philadelphia because they have A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, and they should be able to throw the ball at will on top of their running game, and they haven't been able to do that. They had 65 net passing yards against the Rams in the divisional round. And, guys, that is the lowest number in a decade for any playoff game, from a winner or a loser. So that part's not acceptable. It's kind of weird because there's an unintended consequence. When you run the ball as good as they do, it affects the passing game.
Looking at the game on Sunday, will weather be an issue in this matchup? What are the conditions expected to be like in Philadelphia?
No, it's going to be. It's been really cold here, and I know down there you guys had like the worst snowstorm in history. But it's been brutally cold, and it's going to break a little bit for the game. It's going to be high 30s. So obviously, it's the Northeast. It's not going to be Shangri-La, but it, for January in Philadelphia, it's about as good the weather forecast as it can be. So I don't think the weather is going to be much of an issue. Washington, you know, right down the I-95 corridor, they're used to practicing in this kind of weather. So I don't think that's going to be much of an issue at all.
I'm curious, you know, we're in New Orleans. Unfortunately, we have to play the what-if game. But I look back at that Week 2 loss to Atlanta, right? And so the Saquon Barkley drop and the Sirianni, you know, all the controversy, because it was a big deal because we were playing the Saints in Week 3. And they come in, and you lose in Week 4 to Tampa. And I look at that game, and I'm like, man, you know, what is going on in Philly? But of course, we know what happened after. They beat the Saints that day on, you know, a final, you know, next to the last final drive. And what's the take on, like, Sirianni and Saquon would have probably, you know, on the hot seat at week two. How did things change for both of those people, Nick and Saquon, as we stand today?
Well, for Saquon, I mean, even great players make mistakes, and you point out that drop. And certainly, Devontae Smith had a drop in that game in Washington I was talking about that would have clinched the game for the Eagles. So there's always a handful of plays, and even the best players are going to make mistakes. They're human beings. So I don't think there was ever any angst towards Saquon. But Nick was under a lot of heat. And early in the season, because expectations are always high around this team, and certainly with the roster they put together, the expectations were through the roof. And they had their bye week after the Tampa game you're speaking of, with a very early bye week, and it's then where Lane Johnson, Jordan Mailata, went into Nick Sirianni and said, "Look, we're turning the football over. Let's lean on our great running back." And then the story that nobody talks about in Philadelphia, they had one of the worst defenses in the NFL last season, arguably the worst at the end of the season when they made the move to Matt Patricia. Vic Fangio comes in. They have the number one defense in the NFL. Never seen anything like it. You go from arguably the worst to arguably the best in one season. Vic deserves a lot of credit. They brought in, they have two great rookie corners, Quinion Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, Zach Bond. You guys know?
Ooh,
nobody knew.
I was hoping
Zach
you wouldn't
Bond
bring that up.
he's a finalist for Defensive Player of the Year. I have a vote for that. Well deserved, by the way. He's not going to win it, but he deserves to be in the top five. He's had a phenomenal season. And that's the part where Howie Roseman signed him to be a backup edge rusher and a special teams guy. And Vic Fangio saw him and said, "I think he can play off-ball linebacker." And he's been the best off-ball linebacker in the NFL. It's an amazing story.
Another former Saint over there that we know well, C.J. Gardner-Johnson. And he's a little, much to handle at times. Just wondering, how's his return to Philadelphia gone?
It's gone very well. It's ironic. He got kicked. He got ejected from that Washington game for two unsportsmanlike calls, and it's a rule in the NFL. If you get two of them, you're automatically ejected. I think at that point, you guys know CJ. He's loud. He's braggadocious. He's going to talk trash on the field. But he's a playmaker. He makes a lot of plays, and he's made a lot of plays this year. He's gotten better as the year has gone on. He's very important for that number one defense I talked about. And he sort of, I don't want to say grew up a little bit, but he's verbalized a couple times that he realizes how important he is to the defense and he can't be doing that stuff on the field anymore. So I think he's growing up a little bit at least, and he's always been a playmaker.
Talk about the Philly challenge defensively against Jaden Daniels, leading them 7-game win streak. And it's always tough when you got to play a team the third time. The Saints have been there a couple of times in the postseason. Jaden, Steve and I are doing this show from a casino down here, Boomtown Casino, and it's house money. I mean, you can see it almost in their from their huddle and him and their coach. It's like, everybody's relaxed. For a rookie, you don't see that. And his ability to make and extend plays, I mean, I know watching that Philly defense, the heart of that defense, with Carter and Davis stopping the run. But, man, Jaden Daniels is a whole nother ballgame.
Yeah, I mean, you watch the divisional round, and there's veteran quarterbacks all over the place. Really, the only other young quarterback was C.J. Stroud, a second-year guy. And of them all, and I'll put Mahomes off to the side. But other than Mahomes, he looked like the most poised and calm and collected quarterback in the divisional round of the playoffs. It's amazing. It really is the year he's had. I think he's the best rookie quarterback ever. If he wins this game, he'll break Ben Roethlisberger's record for most wins by rookie quarterback. He'll be the first rookie quarterback to start in the Super Bowl. So I think that would cement the fact that he's the best rookie quarterback ever. And yeah, I think everybody is. We asked Vic Fangio that, is he the best? And Vic, I don't know if you guys know Vic at all, but he's the rare NFL coach that does not lie. If you ask him a question, he answers it. And he thought about it for a little bit, and he said, yeah, I think he's the best rookie quarterback I've ever seen. And he's been around for 40 years.
Yeah, looking at this matchup, we know that, you know, it's two of the best teams, obviously, right now in the NFC squaring off. They know each other well, being division rivals. And the Philadelphia Eagles, six-point favorites in this matchup. But for you, when you look at this breakdown, what is going to be the key for the Eagles to continue on and make it to New Orleans for the Super Bowl when taking on Washington Sunday?
Well, I think, the Eagles have more talent. They're the better team. I think in a lot of ways, if they don't turn the football over, they're probably going to win the game. This is a terrible place to play. Is for opponents. This is the third championship game in the last 8 years at Lincoln Financial Field. The first two were 38-7 Eagles and 31-7 Eagles. So it's not an easy place to play. And I look at Sam Cosmi's out towards ACL for Washington. He's probably their best offensive lineman. And, you know, if Jalen Carter's going against Sam Cosmi, he's probably going to have a big day. Now he's going against a backup guard. They're going to have to slide protection to him on basically every play. Cliff Kingsbury's going to have to come up with some unique ways to keep Jaden Daniels clean. I don't like Washington's chances.
Interesting. And you talked about it. When you talk about Brown and Smith, and you know, going up against Marshawn Lattimore, another former Saint, there's a lot of people involved in this game for us. But and Devontae, who's from Amite here in Louisiana, if you kind of not take away Saquon, which is very difficult to do, how do you see the Philly pass game kind of responding and answering after that, you know, the 65 yards, net yards in the last game?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's almost, you know, they've committed to the act, so to speak, and the fact that they're going to ride the running game and the defense as far as they can go. And even though that's not a conventional way to win in the modern NFL, it sounds like more like a 1970s team. They only got 8 quarters to go. They got to beat Washington, and then they're in the Super Bowl. I mean, it's worked for them to this point. I don't think you wake up on Sunday in late January and say, we got to scrap everything and go in a different direction. The strength of this team is the offensive line and Saquon Barkley and the defense, and they're going to ride those guys as far as they can.
Always appreciate the time. Thanks so much, John. And maybe we'll be seeing you Super Bowl Sunday here in New Orleans.
Yeah, I think you are. So get ready, guys.
We are. Thank you.
Appreciate the time. Thanks so much, John.
All right.
Eagles insider for Sports Illustrated, John McMullen, also hosts the Birds 365 podcast. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll get the Commanders side of things. David Harrison, host of the Locked On Commanders podcast, also writer for Sports Illustrated's Commanders Game Day. Taking a break here at the Boomtown Casino in Harvey. Be right back with more sports talk on WWL right after this.
First down and 10 at the 41. They'll swing the pass out to the left side. It's McLaurin. Breaks two tackles down the left sideline to the 40. McLaurin motoring to the 30. Inside the 20. Still on his feet at the 10. And he'll dive into the end zone for a Washington touchdown.
Commanders dismantling the Detroit Lions 45-31, moving on to the division, the conference championship after that smackdown in the divisional round. Helping us break it all down this matchup on Sunday is David Harrison, host of the Locked On Commanders podcast, also writer for SI's Commander Game Day. David, thanks so much for the time. How you been doing?
I'm doing good. I appreciate the invitation. Thank you.
Looking at this game in Philadelphia on Sunday, it's been a pretty remarkable run, and obviously a guy we're pretty familiar with here is Jaden Daniels, former LSU stud, Heisman Trophy winner, and it's just been the rave of the NFL this season where, you know, nobody's quite seen a rookie do this at quarterback and could become the first rookie to make it to the Super Bowl ever. Just overall impressions of this, of Jaden Daniels, and how he's able to stay so calm and cool no matter what.
I mean, I think it's just his personality, you know what I mean? It's actually funny you mentioned that because today in this press conference he was asked what, you know, five-year-old Jaden Daniels would be thinking about seeing, you know, him right now doing what he did. And he just kind of laughed and said five-year-old Jaden Daniels wouldn't care about what was happening over here. And you know, it's just part of his personality where he just doesn't really pay attention to the hype and the labels of everything. And to him, it's, you know, it's not the NFC Championship game. It's a football game, you know, and it's the same 60 minutes. It's the same rules. It's the same field. It's the same, you know, skill that you need and preparation that you have to have. And I think that's a really great way of looking at it, but something that we're not used to seeing from such a young player.
Give me a sense, in full disclosure, I grew up, born and raised outside of the D.C. area, Manassas, Virginia, and the Washington team, then, of course, a different name. I mean, that was my team growing up, and, man, I was, you know, part of the Joe Gibbs era and Gary Clark and all of that. And then I watched, you know, what happened, you know, with the ownership and the franchise, and we did some games up there when things were not good. And then you get a new owner, a new head coach, and a new quarterback. I'm kind of wondering, like, I'm curious because I don't know the fervor of the Washington fan base. What is it? What has it just been, you know, magical? What's this ride been like from the Washington fan base?
Yeah, it's been really exciting, you know, to go, you know, it's been, I mean, roller coaster, I think, is obviously the best way to put it. Going back to just this time last year, the hiring of Adam Peters, you know, the most sought after general manager candidate, you know, on the market, and the home run that was, and then going through the coaching searches, and is it going to be Ben Johnson, Mike McDonald, and, you know, truthfully, like, most people around here had Dan Quinn, like, fourth or fifth on the list, and then when he becomes the hire, a lot of people are kind of confused, you know, maybe, you know, questioning the process a little bit, and then, boom, his introductory press conference comes, and everybody wants to run through a wall for Dan Quinn, and the coaching staff starts getting formed, and it's just big name after big name, former player after former player, and everybody just starts to love kind of the mentality they're attacking this. And then as you know, players started signing, and you get guys like Bobby Wagner and Zach Ertz coming in, who are certainly not guys that are just going to sign on anywhere for any reason. Like, these are guys who believe in what they're signing on for and the project they're adopting. And then, of course, the arrival of Jaden Daniels. Like, from there, it just really kind of went up. And you know, there was a little bit still of kind of that hangover. You know, I remember, you know, I've got a subscription text service on texting my subscribers during games and stuff throughout the season. And, you know, some of the early games, you know, the Buccaneers game with all the missed tackles, and even the Giants game with no touchdowns. Like, there's still a little bit there where it's like, you know, the same old Washington. And then when they're about to lose to Chicago, there's some negativity. But, you know, the more they developed and the more you saw them, I mean, obviously that Hail Mary moment is massive, right? But the more you saw this team kind of start to really establish their identity, and then obviously as you get into, you know, winning these games, these last five or six games and final moments and all that stuff until Detroit, like, it's just now it's kind of morphed to where, you know, if the team starts slow, I'm actually getting more text messages and social media interactions that are like, all right, you know, they've got to settle in and pull this out. Like, there's more confidence. It's no longer woe is me, here we go again. Now it's okay, well, this team can pull out of this, you know, slow start or bad defensive run, whatever it is, that's setting the team back in that moment. And it's been refreshing to see. And then, you know, I'm getting, you know, alerts that, and I don't know if it's 100% true, I've been able to confirm it, but it's like, you know, a third or something like that of the tickets sold to this weekend's game are coming from the DMV area. And so there's a, you know, hope that, you know, at least most of those are Commanders fans. Obviously, there's going to be a mix of Eagles fans in the DMV that are traveling to Philly for the game as well. But, you know, obviously if 15,000 tickets are sold in the DMV, you can put pretty good money on that. At least, you know, 66% of those are probably Commanders fans. And it's just cool to see the interactions and the support and the excitement, you know.
So DMV, for those not from the Northern Virginia area, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia.
Yeah, correct. Sorry.
That's all right. No, I'm sure, you know, I mean, I knew what you're talking about, but I'm from there. But, no, that was a good deal.
Looking at the defense on the Commander side, a guy that we're familiar with down here, obviously Marshawn Lattimore. I know he's been dealing with a hamstring issue, but seems to be on the mend now. Just wondering how he's doing and how Commanders fans are feeling about the cornerback, because we know here when he is on his game and healthy, definitely one of the best corners in the NFL.
Yeah, and I think that's what, you know, I think a lot of people were expecting to see that Marshawn Lattimore maybe a little bit sooner than they did.
Yeah.
You know, he comes over early November, wasn't able to play until after the bye week, and then, of course, New Orleans doesn't go after him at all, which is great. You know, there were some Commanders fans who were like, we didn't really see him do anything. And I said, well, it's because they didn't go after him, and that's a good thing. Like, that part of not doing anything is a good thing. It just shows how effective he is. And, you know, the Eagles went after him a little bit. Yeah, a little bit of a mixed bag there. He aggravated the hamstring injury. Didn't play again until the wild card round. Mike Evans, you know, I'd say probably won that round in their storied rivalry. But a lot of that is, you know, rust from Marshawn not playing a whole lot this season due to those injuries. You know, newness in the system and all that stuff. But this week, you know, he did get a rest day today on Friday, that rest day. But you know, this staff's not going to give him that rest day unless they feel like it's okay for him to have that rest day. And having these full speed practices and practicing the communication and the checks and the reads and all that stuff are obviously going to be incredibly important. So I think as the weeks go by, you're going to see a better, you know, version of Marshawn Lattimore. And eventually he'll get to that that same old, you know, Marshawn that people know and love. But obviously, there's not a whole lot of weeks left in this season, so you're probably going to see the best Commanders version of Marshawn Lattimore next year. But, you know, I think every week you kind of see him get just a little bit better and better. And certainly last week against the Lions, you know, again, a lot of times when you look at a cornerback and he's not having his name said, that's a really good thing.
Right.
But this week, going up against A.J. Brown again, you know, look, the Eagles have already shown they're not going to be afraid. They're not going to go away from him. They're not going to, you know, shy down from the challenge. So he's going to have an opportunity to have an impact in the game again.
When you look at Washington's offense, it always jumps out. I mean, it's the Brian Robinson, it's Jaden, it's McLaurin. To me, there's a new kind of, you know, part of this offense, and he didn't play against us, and he missed five games, and that's Austin Eckler. First year with Washington, and he just, to me, he's had no 100-yard rushing games, hadn't scored a touchdown in his last five, but, man, he's a player that is kind of that impact player X factor that on Sunday that can make a huge difference. He's just seems to be enormously strong right now.
Yeah, and I think the importance of him on the offense, you know, probably more so as a receiving back and doing all those things, is really shown in the fact that he's a second-team all-pro kick returner who's not returning kicks for his team. You know what I mean? Like Luke McCaffrey and Jeremy and Nick Boulder, so, you know, a combination of guys with Luke McCaffrey are back there returning kicks because they need Austin Eckler on offense. And so I think that just kind of shows how valuable he is to this team as another running back there to pair with Brian Robinson Jr. And obviously his experience, you know, making it into the playoffs and having, you know, postseason experience, just the veteran kind of calmness that he brings is going to be important as well. But I think it's something that we've interestingly seen kind of develop over the last, you know, two or three weeks from the Washington Commanders offense, is getting the running backs more involved as receivers. Brian Robinson Jr. had the most catches he's had in a single game this season just a couple weeks ago, you know, and so they're starting to kind of expand that a little bit. And we've been kind of looking at Jaden as like that's kind of the next step in his quarterback development, whether it happens this year or next year or whenever. Right now his check down is essentially running, you know, that's his check down move. But there's going to need to come a time where he also has a check down, he also has a run, and he's also got, you know, the short design plays. Most of the short passes are by design. Even if it looks like he's you know, looking to go deep, it's more so to push the umbrella up to give the underneath guy room to run. But you're seeing a little bit more of that check down ability, and not just ability. I mean, the ability's always been there, right? But it's more the consciousness of the opening to do that and not having to run the entire time for yourself to get those yards. You can dump it off to another playmaker and let them do it.
Doesn't get much better than division rivals in a conference championship for their, you know, the rights to go to a Super Bowl here. I know Commander's a 6-point dog in this matchup. What's it going to take for Washington to pull off this upset in Philadelphia, you think, Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody's been saying it all week. It starts with Saquon Barkley, you know, and you got to keep him from just taking over the game. And certainly he's gotten his numbers against the Commanders. In the first game, they were able to contain him pretty well for 3.5 quarters. And then that last half, that fourth quarter, he exploded, got two big touchdowns, and the Eagles come away with an 8-point win. In the second game, he exploded to start the game. And then after Jalen Hurts goes down, the Commanders were able to kind of stack the box a little bit more, really sell out to stop him. And they're able to do that. And get themselves back in the competition and end up scoring a game-winning touchdown. So I think in this one, it's kind of a middle ground thing. You know, Jalen Hurts is going to be out there, but he's not going to be 100%. He's going to have a brace on that left knee. How mobile is he really going to be? I don't think he's going to be, you know, the same Jalen Hurts. I know Philly is trying to say otherwise, but I don't think he's going to be have the same ability that he usually does. And how big of an impact that causes that offense is going to be key, because if Joe Jr. sees that Jalen is, you know, has to be a little bit closer to a statue than you're used to seeing, that emboldens him to come after Saquon a lot more and maybe stack that box a lot more and trust his secondary, which, you know, Commander's secondary is in the top 10 in the league pretty much the entire year and preventing explosive passes. So if you can take away Saquon as much as possible, force Jalen to have to beat you from the pocket, I think the Commanders like their chances from that.
David, definitely appreciate the time. Thank you, and best of luck to you and the Commanders on Sunday, man.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you for the invite.
Yep, appreciate it.
David Harrison, who hosts the Locked On Commanders podcast, also writer for SI Commanders Game Day. You can check out all his work there as the Commanders get ready to take on the Philadelphia Eagles Sunday, which you can catch here on WWL and the Odyssey app. A 2 o'clock kickoff. Pre-game coverage will start at 1. Checking in as we go to break, the LSU versus South Carolina Gamecocks women's basketball game. So South Carolina up 62-54, 2 minutes left in the game. Be keeping an eye on that. The Tigers need to make a big run here at the end if they want to close in on the Gamecocks. Taking a break here on Sports Talk. We're here at Boomtown Casino and Harvey. You can stop by and say hey here at the Sportsbook as you place your bets. Getting ready for Sunday's conference matchups. We'll be right back after this on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk here at Boomtown Casino and Harvey. Now, how did the historic winter storm affect hunting and fishing? Well, you can find out tomorrow morning with Don Dubuque. Don's the outdoors guy who spent decades fishing and hunting the woods, swamps, marshes, and bayous of southeast Louisiana. If anybody knows what's going on out there, it's Don and all of his reporters in the field. Catch Louisiana's great outdoors with Don Dubuque tomorrow morning, bright and early from 5 a.m. to 7. You'll get real-time hunting and fishing reports right here on WWL. And if 5 a.m. is too early for you, remember, we podcast every episode. You can listen whenever works for you. Simply rewind to WWL.com or for free on the Odyssey app. Going to go to the top of the hour news break, and after that, we'll start breaking things down over in the AFC. Sal Capaccio, Bill's sideline reporter, and Josh Klinger, Chief sideline reporter, will be joining us as we continue our breakdown of the conference championships going on Sunday, which you can also catch, what do you know, right here on WWL. Be back after this, folks. Welcome back into Sports Talk here at the Boomtown Casino in Harvey. Great to be out and about seeing folks after being cooped up so long after the snowfall here. Looking at some action that is final now, 66-56, the final in South Carolina as the Gamecocks hand the Lady Tigers their first loss of the season. LSU women's basketball now 20-1 and 5-1 in conference play. Hopefully the Bayou Bengals can bounce back after this one. Definitely a tough loss to a tough team there, the defending champs. Coming up this hour, we're going to be previewing the Buffalo Bills matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs. That game kicking off Sunday around 5:45. Interested to see this one for sure. Man, the quarterback in Buffalo, Allen, has been so incredible. Yeah. And not just the danger with his arm, but, you know, getting it done with his legs as well. Just all-around guy that just able to get things going for this offense. And curious to see if somehow, some way, Buffalo can upset the mighty Kansas City Chiefs. I know a lot of people have been upset, too, with the referees going in favor, it seems, every game for the Chiefs somehow.
Yeah, it's I mean, that's going to be such a classic. I mean, they're all classic when these two get together. All right, and one other note that I did see in the South Carolina over LSU, it was a lower third on the television, that South Carolina's won 17 straight against LSU, and they're 5-0 against
Kim
Mulkey.
That's the one thing Kim Mulkey hasn't done, right?
That's because, you know, you beat that, you know, Kim Mulkey five times. You've done your job. But yeah, man, I'm interested. You know, can they do what they did earlier this year when I was in Buffalo, you know, and beat Kansas City? Man, Kansas City just seems to somehow find a way.
Doesn't matter who's available.
Doesn't matter who's
to
do it. You know, get down to that final drive. So, you know, here's the deal. I don't gamble a lot. We're at Boomtown.
Yeah.
We're in the sports book. I will say, if you look at a couple of, here's a couple of, I was involved in one of these instances.
Okay.
2020. These prop bets, right?
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes, the over-under rush yards for Patrick Mahomes was 29.5. With a minute to go in the game, he's got 44 rush yards. Done. You've won. The over's, you know, done.
Yeah.
He takes three victory snaps. Not two, not three, not four, 5 yards. Three victory snaps, minus 15 to 29, and is now the under.
Bad beat for sure.
2022, Matt Stafford. The over-under was 7. No, over-under was 5.5. He had 7 yards. Takes a knee back to 6 yards, which is the questionable spot. Cincinnati doesn't call timeout. He just keeps the ball. They never actually have to spot it again because Cincinnati didn't use a timeout. So it's the over by a half a yard.
Wow.
That, to me, is like, this is, you know, that's why I don't gamble, right? Are you kidding me? It's like, so, I don't know. It's just those kinds of things, just somehow they always seem to find their way into it.
It's amazing how Vegas gets those numbers,
man,
so darn accurate.
Right. And so I am interested to see if Buffalo can go in there and do something against Kansas City. I mean, it's going to be the same situation. It'll be cold. It's like it's going to be in Philly. I don't think there's any precipitation. But, I mean, these two teams, again, the Bills lead the all-time record in the playoffs. The Chiefs lead 4-2. Mahomes versus Allen in the regular season. Allen's 4-1. Mahomes is 1-4. In the playoffs, Mahomes is 3-0.
Yeah.
And Allen is 0-3. So regular season doesn't matter a whole lot.
I was surprised to see the line initially was just a 1-point favorite for Kansas City. So it crept up to 1.5. And I'm seeing now here at the odds that the Chiefs are 2-point favorites for that matchup against the Bills on Sunday. I don't know. I can't fathom betting against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs just because they've been there, done that, and they always seem to just get it done with a little help from the referees,
yeah,
as well.
And, you know, people we talk about, you know, the Saints looking for a head coach, and you look at Andy Reid on the sideline, and I'm like, he doesn't do much of anything and talk. And he's very involved in the game. Don't get me wrong. It's like, man, he's just, you know, they have it going there. They got the right formula,
right?
Because you look at their offense and you go, who are the receivers, right? You know, and they banged up at running back until most recently, but find a way.
They definitely find a way. And we're going to get into some of what the Buffalo Bills need to do to maybe upset those Kansas City Chiefs after the break. Bills sideline reporter for WGR 550 in Buffalo, Sal Capaccio, will join us. So stay tuned right here on Sports Talk, taking a break at Boomtown Casino in Harvey here till 7 o'clock. Right after this, we'll be back with more Sports Talk here on WWL. Allen waits, gets the snap. Allen keeps it up the middle, powering to the goal line, into the end zone. Touchdown, Bills. The second touchdown run of the first half for Allen. This one from 4 yards out. Touchdown, Josh Allen. Buffalo Bills getting ready to take on the Kansas City Chiefs. To help us break that down is Sal Capaccio, Bills sideline reporter for WGR 550 in Buffalo. Sal, thanks so much for the time. How you doing, man?
Doing well. I mean, obviously, it's exciting here, but, you know, it's a lot of nervous anticipation as well.
I feel you. You look at this matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs. This Buffalo Bills team has a tough one going into their domain, obviously, on Sunday, playing at Arrowhead Stadium. What for you, when you look at the defense of Kansas City and what Steve Spagnuolo is able to do, kind of can be an issue for this Buffalo Bills offense?
Well, I just think it's all the different looks that you can give. You know, you never know what's coming. You know, Josh talked about that today and said, you know, you have to prepare for everything, and then there's going to be things that they do that you don't even prepare for, and you have to be ready to change on the fly. They love to blitz their defensive backs. They'll come from all different angles. I think that's something you really have to be aware of. And, of course, they just have talented players all across the board. I mean, Chris Jones is a game wrecker up front. You have to know where he is at all times. And then the return of Jalen Watson at corner with McDuffie is just you know, it's a really great secondary as well. So they just do a lot of things great, but, you know, you add in that the talent with the coaching they have and the scheme they have, you have to be aware for everything all the time.
When you look at this Bills team and the victory over Baltimore. And, you know, Baltimore, the key to that seems to be the turnovers and what they were able to do and hold on at the end. Probably have played better offensively, and it's not always the case when you don't play. Maybe you have your A game, but you're able to move forward in the playoffs. You know, we talk a lot about this matchup with Buffalo and Kansas City, Allen and Mahomes. What do you talk when you tell me beyond Josh Allen, this Buffalo offense and what, you know, problems it can cause for Kansas City?
Well, I think this is the best, most balanced offense the Bills have had in the Josh Allen era. They really haven't done it with Josh having to put the cape on. Now, look, he still has had an MVP-type season. He might win the MVP, but it's not these mind-blowing numbers week after week. Josh actually, you know, a lot of times, it just kind of, I don't know, I guess I'd say more of the steerer of the ship or passenger in a lot of ways, where he makes throws, he makes plays he needs to, but really it's a balanced run game. They have three very good running backs in James Cook, Ty Johnson, and Ray Davis. Ty Johnson is one of the best third down backs in the league. When he's on the field, you don't know if he's going to pass block, which he's capable of, go out in a route, take the ball, you know, a handoff. And guys, I think that Bills, you know, they've shown this year they could have the best tackle tandem in the league with Deion Dawkins on the left side and Spencer Brown on the right side. And they really have an excellent offensive line. I mean, the Bills have, you know, they set like franchise records this year for the least amount of sacks. And, you know, I think they were number one in the league by quite a wide margin of getting sacked the fewest times. A lot of that is Josh. Of course it is, you know, him running around, him escaping, things like that. But I just think the Bills are so well balanced on offense right now. This is really just the kind of type of football they've wanted to play under Sean McDermott, but they just haven't been able to get to it. And finally they have this year.
What can you tell us about Joe Brady, offensive coordinator? Obviously, there's huge interest down here. Possibly could be in line to become a head coach, and maybe with the, you know, the Saints looking into that. And, you know, we know a little bit of about him. Spent time with the Saints organization as an assistant. Went on to LSU, part of the national championship squad over there. Then didn't have so much success in the NFL until he got to Buffalo. And obviously, when you got a guy like Josh Allen around. But for you, what do you think would make Joe Brady a good head coach in the NFL?
Well, I think that his personality and his outlook, you know, is great. And I know that doesn't make for, you got to have all the other things, right? I get it. But I think that when he walks into a building, like, people gravitate to him because of his personality, his positive attitude. I think it's really rubbed off on the Buffalo Bills offense. I think Josh is in a great headspace this year, and a lot of it is because of having Joe Brady with him and, you know, their relationship. Joe's a relationship guy. I've gotten to know him here in Buffalo, and I just think that, you know, people love having that around, and it makes going to work fun, right? It makes going to work want to be around people, and Joe does that. But I think the other thing is, you know, Joe, because of, you know, the success he's had and the relationships that he's formed, I think he would form probably a good coaching staff. People would want to be with him. And, you know, I think he's young enough to know that, you know, what he doesn't know, and that he would need to rely on, you know, people that he'd bring in that have some experience, because he would be a first-year head coach. So at some point, I think it's going to happen, you know, especially if it doesn't happen this year. I'm sure that he'll still have success with Josh Allen, however that results over the next, what, year, 2 years. And, you know, eventually I think that he'll get his shot.
The Week 11 victory for Buffalo over Kansas City, 30-21. I mean, it's, you know, in some respects a while ago, in others respects it's Week 11. So what do you take away from that game and its benefit, if any, going into this week?
You know, you really can't, guys, because both teams were missing so many guys. I think there's like five main starters on each side that were out of that game. For the Bills, Spencer Brown did not play. Dalton Kincaid did not play. Keon Coleman did not play. For the Chiefs, Charles Omenihue did not play. Jalen Watson did not play. Harrison Butker. And there's a couple more on each side, too. And, you know, I think that obviously the game was here in Buffalo. This game is in Arrowhead. You know, more so, I think, less than this game that they played, Week 11, I should say, this year. It's more about, I think, just knowing them and each other over the last 4 years. You go back to 2020, the Bills and Chiefs, this is the ninth time they played. They're not even in the same division. It's wild, right? And, I mean, the Bills have played the Jets 10 times in that time period. They're in their division, which is amazing. So I think more of the big picture, you know, the familiarity comes from that and what you can take away. What have they done to us in the past? What do we have to be aware of? How do they like to play this? I don't know if you could take as much from the Week 11 game because both sides were missing so many players, and I think they had to adjust their game plan.
You talked about that run game, and looking at the combo of James Cook and Ray Davis, a nice combo for this squad, obviously, too, with Josh Allen, what he provides with his legs. But just overall, that run game, it could be a big difference maker against this Chiefs team this time around.
Yeah, and I throw Ty Johnson in there, too, guys. I think he's a guy that really gives you some juice in the run game, but he's an excellent receiver out of the backfield as well. And as you're right to point out, Josh obviously counts as a running back. Josh was actually the leading running rusher when these two teams played last time. In Week 11, the Chiefs actually did a great job of shutting down the Bills' run. They got it outside of Josh. They only averaged like 2.2 yards a carry. But some of that was Spencer Brown wasn't available. But I would say, too, you know, I don't know if it's because maybe the Chiefs were kind of just dialing it back because they kind of had things in hand over the last few weeks. But it just seems like their numbers in the run game, stopping the run, have been a little inconsistent lately. Even Joe Mixon and the Texans ran on them a little bit last week. You go back to Cleveland last month, they ran on them. Pittsburgh was able to a little bit. So I do wonder if the Bills say, hey, maybe that's our way to attack here. The Bills want to control the ball. They want to limit their mistakes. And I wonder if that's, you know, I wouldn't doubt the Bills do want to go in there and run the ball. But I wonder if the Bills feel that they can, you know, have some success there to keep their offense on schedule.
Gotta love the way that Buffalo protects the football. Number one in the NFL, the regular season, just six interceptions and two lost fumbles, yep, and no turnovers yet offensively in the playoffs. And then, of course, got the three defensively against Baltimore. But when you got a team like that has been so frugal with the football, man, that's got to be a huge impact for this offense.
It is, and listen, I mean, they've done a great job of that, and Joshua would be the first to tell you, yes, he's only thrown six interceptions, but of course he's probably made some mistakes that, you know, guys have dropped that could have been more, but no doubt he's making better decisions, and that's what it is really, guys. It's Josh Allen making decisions and then holding onto the football. But look on the other side, the Chiefs haven't turned the ball over since that Week 11 game against the Bills, right? It's crazy. These two teams here who are going to, it's like that Spider-Man meme, you know, with the two Spider-Mans looking at each other. They're like, no, you do something wrong. No, you do something wrong. No, you do something. They're both going to be kind of waiting for each other to make a mistake because neither team has done that.
Well, and if you, and I'm just going to, this, you don't have to respond, but when you look at the four teams left, you know, Washington and Philadelphia have not had a turnover in the postseason. And, you know, same, yeah, with Kansas City and, you know, Buffalo. There's a reason those four teams are there.
I mean, if you look at last week, guys, I mean, I think, in fact, I know this, the stat was last week, all of the teams who won were actually the teams who had fewer yardage. The teams that lost had outgained them, but the turnovers were obviously big deals. It's the playoffs, right? These critical mistakes that can cost you.
For this Bills defense, how big is it missing a guy like Taylor Rapp for this game on Sunday?
It's huge because the Bills are going to start a rookie in Cole Bishop. And, you know, Cole Bishop's done some really nice things. I think he's going to be an excellent player in this league, but this is a big test for him.
Yeah.
And he came in last week, though. I'll say he played, I think, 39 snaps out of, like, 59 or 58 snaps. And he did a good job. Now, the Ravens did have one deep pass down the middle early on when he came in, but that was a little bit more over DeMar, but him and DeMar together, I think, you know, neither of them, they're not. Taylor Rapp is an excellent veteran, and he knows, you know, how to play this defense. DeMar's not quite the athlete of you and Cole Bishop. They'll use Bishop in a lot of ways. I like Cole Bishop. He can play in the box. He's really good in run support. But there's going to be a test. I think the Chiefs will test Cole Bishop. It's a huge loss for the Bills, obviously. But, you know, at the same time, you know, the Bills have been developing him. They trust him. He's played this year. And I think they're going to this game, you know, confident. And more than anything, it is the Sean McDermott system is really good when it comes to safeties and, you know, not allowing big plays. The Bills did not have, you know, they moved on from Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde this year, and now Micah's back, obviously, in the practice squad. But, you know, after so many years of those guys being there, there were so many questions about the safeties. But here they were again, guys, this year, leading the league and, you know, fewest big plays allowed over the top of them, and that's because the system works so well.
I got to ask you, Sal, this is a little personal for me. I take it back. But so next year we come to Buffalo to play,
yep,
the Bills. We know that. We don't know the date yet. And something on my bucket list is a trip to the Anchor Bar. I am a chicken wing aficionado. And what am I, like, Saturday night before a home Buffalo game, is it even, should I even bother with the Anchor? Can I get in? Is that, or is it just like chaos?
Okay, so there's a lot there. I'm glad that you asked. I'll say this. When the schedule gets announced next week, I have been known to host the out-of-town radio cruise for some wings. So I'd be more than willing to take you guys. You come up to Buffalo, I will take you. We had the Broncos crew in, and I brought Dave Logan, their play-by-play guy, and Susie Walgen, their Wargen, their sideline reporter. We all went out for some pizza and wings, and nice. I'm happy to host the Texans, the Buck, the great play-by-play man Gene Deckerhoff took him out for wings when they were in Buffalo last year. John Harris and the crew of the Texans. Anyway, my point is there are. I would never disparage any place like the Anchor Bar. It's a great place. It's a novelty. It's like going to, you got to go when you go to Philly, you got to go to Geno's, right? To get a cheesesteak. That's what you do. But if you ask anybody from Buffalo, they will put many other places above to say where you need to go for wings. There are so many other places where, hey, that's the novelty, but if you really want to get wings, go here or here or here. So that's the trick. So when the schedule comes out next year, you get a hold of me, and I'll take you out for wings.
I put it in your hands, my friend. It is now in your hands. Got when the it. Schedule comes out, you pick. I'll just lie about my bucket list. I do it all the time.
You got it. It is my pleasure. I love bringing the other radio crew out for wings and showing them the city of Buffalo a little bit here. It's a city that has a lot to offer, but, of course, the wings are what you come here for, I think, when you want to go out on the night before the game, and we'll take care of you.
Sal, is the is New Orleans ready for the Bills Mafia to come down here if the Bills win?
You know, I think so. I've been in New Orleans. I'm a Syracuse basketball fan. I went to Syracuse. I was there in 03 when Carmelo Anthony and company won the title. It was a fantastic night. It was one of the best nights to remember of my sports fandom. Yeah, you guys know how to handle a party. I will say, though, I am a little worried if it's Bills fans and Eagles fans, right? You got one group that wants to fight everybody. Another.
We only have two cells in the Superdome. two jail cells. I don't know.
Yeah, it would be fun. I think so. Listen, Bills Mafia travels so well, as you guys know. If we can get past Sunday, if the Bills can, and we're heading down there, and I'll be down in New Orleans for the week leading up to the Super Bowl. It's going to be a big party. But Bills fans, man, they talk about the breaking tables stuff. Yeah, that's a thing that happens at the tailgate. Really, what it is, it's just all about a bunch of love and people having passion for their team, and you want to spread that joy and passion everywhere they go.
Appreciate your time, Sal, and already looking forward to next season and picking your brain more about wings. Thanks for the time, man.
Anytime, man. Reach out. You got it. Thanks.
Thank you, Sal.
Sal Capaccio, Bills sideline reporter for WGR 550 in Buffalo, breaking it all down there, taking a break here on Sports Talk. When we get back, we'll get on the Chiefs sideline reporter, 96.5 The Game, The Fan in Kansas City. Sorry, Josh Klinger will be joining us right after the break here on WWL at Boomtown Casino.
Mahomes in the gun, receivers in tight, he gets the knee-high shotgun snap, and he's grabbed, and he throws as he's being tackled, and it was caught in the end zone by Kelce. What a grab by Kelce, but what a play by Mahomes!
Kansas City Chiefs getting ready to host the Buffalo Bills Sunday in the AFC Championship game. Helping us break it down, Josh Klinger, Chiefs sideline reporter for 96.5, The Game in Kansas City. Josh, thanks so much for the time. How you doing over there, man?
Well, can it be Sunday night yet? I mean, I think the anticipation's been building. I was ready probably about Wednesday. I know the players need all that extra time, but I think everybody's pretty juiced for this one.
Oh, for sure. And we just played that highlight coming in, and it was just one of those moments again. It's like another thing that I can't believe what I just saw out of Patrick Mahomes. Continues to just dazzle, being able to get that ball to Kelce as he's falling down. Is there nothing that this guy can't do? Is the confidence just super, uber confident around this Chiefs team because you have that dude at quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, this season has been not perfect, but
right.
They just find a way. I mean, that's that the DNA that they have built, and it really does start with Mahomes and Kelce and probably Chris Jones on the defensive side. Having those three as your main leaders, they're your hardest workers. They've also just, they've been through it all at this point. They don't get frazzled. They don't panic. Seemingly whatever situation's thrust upon them, more often than not, they have the belief that they're going to get through it somehow, some way. I think this season kind of proved it. They won so many games in so many different ways. And even at times without playing perfect football, they're just really, really savvy that even if they're playing, A-, B-plus football, they can find a way somehow, some way to get it done.
And it doesn't feel, this is Mike Haas, thanks for joining us, it doesn't feel like we kind of really appreciate what we're seeing, right? So if you go back to the AFL-NFL merger in 1970, since that time, 1970, Kansas City's been to the AFC Championship 9 times. they're about to, on Sunday, be in their seventh straight with Patrick Mahomes. Seven straight. And so, and I'm sure, you know, outside of Kansas City, there's this sentiment, I can't handle Kansas City anymore. I don't, you know, they're not buying in. I get it. But I'm like, what are, from that standpoint, is Kansas City leaning into that? Kind of like, you know, the people don't want them. Forget the fact that they're trying to get three straight, never been done. Seven straight, you know, AFC championship. Do they kind of lean into it a little bit that people don't want them?
Yeah, I think so, you know, kind of this year, because it felt like that there was the tide had turned a little bit, and it was like, okay, we're enough of the Chiefs. I've seen enough of the, you know, anybody but the Chiefs kind of mantra. I'm kind of surprised in a small way. I mean, I get it. A success leads to flipping over and people want to see them out. But also, the fact that there hasn't been a three-peat, I thought there would be a little more buzz for the run at that. Outside of Kansas City, that I really haven't seen. I think there's probably more so of, all right, enough of this. Somebody else is due to get this. But yeah, it's been an amazing run. I mean, I've been with the Chiefs. This is season five, but I've been in Kansas City for 20 plus years, and I was always amazed at the beginning. They weren't winning, but they were thought of as a winning franchise. But I always pointed to their Pro Football Reference playoff page and showed how empty it was. And they just really had like a lot of one and outs. And now suddenly the last, you know, 7 years, it's been a whole bunch of playoff appearances, right? It's just stacked full of appearances. So there was a lot of drought in between the very early stages, you know, Super Bowls 1 and 4, and then now the recent run. So while it feels like it's a lot, if you look over at the totality, it's been a lot in, you know, the Mahomes era, which has been pretty remarkable. I mean, the Bills, it feels a lot like, you know, the old Patriots-Colts days. The Bills are very, very capable, and they have been for the last 5 years, and they've either run into Chiefs or others in the postseason that have been kind of their nightmare. So the Buffalo Bills are as good a team as any that has really, you know, nothing at the end of the day to show for it. I know they want to come into Kansas City and finally get one. They thought last year being at home, that was their opportunity, and the Chiefs thwarted that. So the Bills are going to come try to wreck the Chiefs party this time on the flip side.
What do you think we're going to see from this Chiefs wide receiving core? It was kind of odd, you know, last matchup they played against the Houston Texans to see guys like DeAndre Hopkins and Hollywood Brown both getting shut out in the stat sheet.
Yeah, I think it was probably a little bit more schematic in that game. I think the Chiefs, over the last, I'll say, two seasons, last year for sure, down the stretch, and then really for much of this season, I call them a little bit of a chameleon on offense. I don't know exactly what their identity is. I don't know if their identity is the same at all times, but they're just kind of willing to morph into different combinations when the opportunity presents itself. Last week it happened to be a Kelce game. I'd be surprised if it's a Kelce game again. Because I think they're probably going to try to bottle him up a little bit more. And I also think they'll probably will try to force feed the wide receivers a little bit more. But you're right. Last week was very odd because it was just, okay, here's some running backs. Here's Kelce. And you wide receivers might get a pass or two, but really weren't involved in the offense. I think with the, you know, the injuries and a little bit beat up on the back end of the Bills defense, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Chiefs try to get the ball down the field a little bit more. And then Kelce, at times, he's been more than willing to be the decoy. Like, he's cool with, I'm gonna cut over the middle and I'm gonna draw two and three guys and that's gonna leave other people open, and you know, I wouldn't be surprised if that's not a little bit of the MO. I think Buffalo's gonna present plenty of attention to Travis, and then we'll see if that opens up some of the wide receivers a little bit more than they were last week.
And you know, it's always tough when you're the defense and you got Patrick Mahomes on your team, right? And so, other than Chris Jones, you know, they're great players. But coming off that game with Houston, they get 8 sacks. Man, that shows you a lot. And they, you know, probably don't get the notoriety that they deserve because of Patrick Mahomes. But they're quietly very, very efficient. Top 10, fourth ranked, you know, points allowed, yards, top 10. So, I mean, the defense is a lot better than people give them credit.
And last year, I mean, the Super Bowl was on the back of the defense. The offense found what could work in the latter stage of the season, but that was defense all year. This year, I mean, you kind of say more of the same, and they're not household names for the most part, other than Chris Jones. Maybe Trent McDuffie is becoming a little more of of an around the NFL household name. But this is a very solid defense. It's done it all season long. Will they get 8 sacks on Sunday? I doubt it. That was the high water mark. But towards the tail end of the season, they started turning people over a little bit more. They've really held points in check all season long. They know the bright lights are on the offensive side, but really for the last maybe 2 full seasons, certainly last year, and I think they should get equal credit at least this year. Last year, probably full credit, and this year at least equal credit with the offense. But, yeah, they're not going to get the headlines, but, I think they play with a little chip on their shoulder because of that. This is going to be a formidable foe. This is really the only team that beat them. I know Denver won in the regular season finale. Chiefs didn't play anybody in that game. So the Buffalo Bills, the only team that had defeated a kind of full-strength Chiefs team head-to-head. Both teams are going to get a number of guys back that weren't in that first matchup, too, which is going to be kind of interesting to see on both sides. If the additions, and I think they're pretty big additions. You talk about Hollywood Brown on Chiefs' side, Isaiah Pacheco on offense. Jalen Watson, their starting corner, is going to be back for this game. Wasn't in the first meeting. Charles Omenihu won there. Buffalo didn't have Dalton Kincaid and Keon Coleman and Matt Milano that they're all expected to have in this game. So each team's also getting guys back from that first meeting back in November. So it looks like about as full strength as you can be this time of the year. So I'm expecting a big show. I think these are the two best teams in the NFL, no disrespect to the NFC right now, but I think these are the two best teams. Not to say that the winner of this one's going to win the Super Bowl. It's not how it works. I get it, but I think these are the two best teams going.
Josh, the talk of the three-peat, is that something that the players and even coaches mention, or is that just something for the fans right now and us to kind of banter about? Just curious if the Chiefs have embraced that idea of being a team to accomplish history and being the first team to ever win back-to-back-to-back Super Bowls.
They've absolutely embraced it. They were talking about it before anybody else was. When they were handed the trophy last year, they were right on to three. Let's get three. Let's get three. That has been the outright goal. Now, has it gotten in the way of anything? I don't think so. I don't think Andy Reid would allow that to happen. But it's been, they've dealt with that all season long, which I think in a way took the pressure off because it wasn't, wait till week 16 and everybody starts bringing it up. It was kind of there from the jump, and they haven't shied away from it. And again, I don't think it's been a distraction, but clearly their goal has been from the get-go, win three and become part of NFL history, but you have to do it one game at a time. So, they're not looking ahead by any means, but it's been their outright goal.
And Josh, when you look at this Buffalo Chiefs matchup, what for you at least is the prime thing for Kansas City that they need to do against the Bills? It's basically, contain Josh Allen, I would think.
Yeah, contain Josh Allen, and then obviously, I think that the Chiefs had to protect Patrick Mahomes. It's been an adventure at left tackle all season long, considering a team that has two losses. We were kind of joking about this in the pregame the other day before the divisional game, that before the season started, first preseason game, we're talking about left tackle. And here we are in the divisional round of the playoffs going, I wonder who's playing left tackle today. They didn't get it solved the entire year. And so I think, having Joe Tooney, all-pro guard, slide out to tackle has been workable. Not a long-term solution, but certainly has been workable. But they got to protect Patrick Mahomes in this one, no doubt. Buffalo's really, really good on the edges. And then defensively, if there's been a kryptonite for the Chiefs, it's been the middle of the field. Teams have been able to get chunk yardage on them through the middle of the field. And so Josh Allen finding his tight ends, Josh Allen finding crossing routes, and then obviously Josh Allen's feet, I think, are the kind of the dynamic as well that scare anybody facing the Buffalo Bills. And obviously he scampered for a 26-yard touchdown to kind of close out the game one victory. And so his ability to use his feet will have to be something that the Chiefs will have to spy on for sure.
Josh, definitely appreciate your time. Thanks so much, and enjoy the game on Sunday. I know you will.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good time. Again, we're spoiled. We're living in the penthouse. I think everybody around here realizes that you don't get to these things every day, even though it feels like it right now.
No, you're right. Seven, double digit wins since 2015. Good gosh. Yeah, enjoy it. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, guys.
Chief sideline reporter for 96.5, The Game, The Fan in Kansas City, Josh Klinger joining us there. We're taking a break here on Sports Talk. Coming back, we'll wrap things up here from Boomtown Casino and Harvey. Coming back right after this with more Sports Talk after the break. Sports Talk at the Boomtown Casino here on 105.3 FM and the Odyssey app. If you're looking for the Pelicans game, that is on the big 870 AM tip-off coming at 7 o'clock in Memphis. Want to remind everybody here that the Big Easy Bowl finale, Saturday, January 25th, at Boomtown Casino. Two winners are being selected today. Two winners are being selected tomorrow. The four winners are going to be called every 30 minutes from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. They get to select a briefcase to determine their prize, which ranges from $750 in slot and table play to $1,500 in pen cash. There will also be winners from previous weeks. All finalists placed in a drawing drum on Saturday, 9:15. The winner receives a pair of tickets to the big game and $2,500 in cash. If you're a card member, you get one free entry. You can get additional entries for every 10 tier points. You get one additional entry. So come on down and check that out here at Boomtown. Going to go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line as I get ready to wrap things up. And Jimmy, what you got for us tonight, man?
Hey, guys. Hey, thanks for the great show. Thanks for coming to the West Bank Boomtown Casino.
It was good to get out the house.
Cabin fever.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, exactly. Cabin fever. And look, I know it's football. We're getting excited about the Super Bowl. You know, LSU women lost tonight. LSU gymnastics is about to start. Pelicans tonight, they're going for five in a row. No Zion. And look, I want to put a quick spotlight on UNO. You guys, again, have done a lot. WWL, there's major budget cuts with UNO. Please, if anyone's listening, they want to get out of the house, come to UNO basketball tomorrow at 5 o'clock on the lakefront. Even buying a hot dog helps the buying a ticket, bringing your family out there. Let's get some people out there. Let's support UNO. But, look, I want to ask y'all this. Why is Zion not playing? Is this his option tonight? Is this the coach's call, or is this his new agent?
For me, I think it's the team making a decision here. They're playing the back-to-back and kind of giving him a rest, I think, going into that game for tomorrow at least. It is kind of odd to me. I don't know. He was sick on Monday, and then they're saying now he's out for this evening due to reconditioning after illness. So,
Charlotte tomorrow.
It's been a kind of a puzzle with Zion. I'm figuring out what exactly this Pels team is trying to do with him.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. He's out for tonight and then Charlotte tomorrow, and then they're back on January 29th and then the 31st. But I got to close things up.
Yeah.
15 years ago tonight, thanks to Jeff Duncan, I saw a tweet from him. 15 years ago tonight, hell froze over and pigs flew as the Saints won the NFC Championship game en route to their first Super Bowl.
Wow.
Now, Jim was right. Hell froze over, but it was 15 years later when it was 20 degrees for three straight days.
That was my first year getting to cover the Saints. Who knew?
January 24th in 2010.
Wow.
Saints over Minnesota.
That was a good time, and this was a good time tonight. I want to thank everybody for joining us here at Boomtown Casino in Harvey at the Sportsbook. Come check it out. Great place to be. Looking forward to the games that are going to be on WWL starting Sunday, 1 o'clock with pregame coverage. Then the Eagles taking on the Commanders, kicking off at 2. Buffalo versus Kansas City Chiefs follows that matchup. For Mike Haas, I'm Steve Geller. Also, Ernie, thanks for being our engineer here. And Charlie Long back in studio. Have a great night, everybody. And enjoy the weekend. Who dat?